Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, let's do this. McNeil and Parkins on the score. Chris Tannehill on his way to Pittsburgh with Herb Lawrence and Brendan McCaffrey. So Shane Reardon in for Tanny. Mac will be back tomorrow. Nick Shepkowski is here. And we're all carrying Kevin Zipak through his updates today. Got a busy show, though, with Al Mora at 2, Daniel Carcillo at 4, Steve Sottelman. I'm very excited about this. Man is going to be helping write the Illinois gambling legislation, if and when that comes to be. And he's the chair of the state gaming committee. He'll be on the show. I don't know. It might be 3 o'clock. It might be 5 o'clock. We don't know. He's a state senator. We're kind of working around his schedule. And Will Perdue will also be in studio coming up 1 hour from now to talk a little hoops. This segment brought to you by Burlington. Refresh your spring closet for less at your Burlington store. What's hot? Stripes, dots, and gingham, plus cool hardware like pearls, sequins, grommets, and much more. Burlington style for everyone. I just want to, we're going to do something later in the show where you guys can ask questions, because there's no such thing as a stupid question when it comes to really the change that is going to be fundamental to the financial infrastructure in and around sports with the upcoming legalization of sports gambling. Because now I do think it is a matter of when, not if, we're going to be able to gamble on sports everywhere. I think it will start as a state-by-state thing, but I'm fairly confident that it's going to work. And once it starts to work in places like New Jersey, like it's worked in places like Nevada, you're going to see more and more states get on board. There's already 25-plus states that are at various stages of planning and development on gambling legalization. But so I don't like blame Joe West, right? The manager or the umpire for baseball, for being like, man, are people going to come and break my guy's legs now? Like, it's a really dumb thought, but he's not educated on gambling. Clearly that's an uneducated stance to have.
If it was anybody else besides Joe West, but when Joe West has Bob Nightingale in front of him asking him a question, Joe knows how to make it about Joe and be over the edge, over the top of everything with it. Joe knew what he was doing.
Fair enough. People are not going to give Joe West the benefit of the doubt. But to me, if any like random person says, you know, I don't have a lot of thoughts on the legalization of sports gambling, it's like, okay, fine. You haven't been thinking about it. It's not really entered your purview. But for those of us that it's one of the few illegal things that we do and we'd like it to now become legal, like, trust me, I've thought a lot about this. And so I give Joe West a pass on that, even though it's a moronic thought when tens and tens of billions of dollars are wagered illegally every year, much of that on baseball, and no one's coming and breaking any legs of any major league umpires now. So why would that happen when it is in fact legal? Like that, it's a dumb thought, but it's also an uneducated one. Where I give no pass is to the NFL with their statement about integrity and integrity fees and asking Congress to uphold the integrity of their games. When you're supposed to be a leader on stuff like this, you're the most popular sports league in the country, and you're following the NBA and you're following Major League Baseball on all of this, and you're not out in front. And I'm not surprised that Roger Goodell's NFL, which could not handle what the ruling of a catch is, that can't handle instant replay, that can't handle the concussion settlement, that can't handle domestic violence, that can't handle anthem protests, that they're also playing catch-up and trailing behind Adam Silver's NBA and Rob Manfred's Major League Baseball when it comes to gambling. But all of these leagues need to stop. If you've read any article, whether it was in the Tribune, Yahoo, The Ringer, everything I've read has mentioned that leagues want what's called an integrity fee. And let me tell you why that is nothing more than a cash grab if they insist on the integrity fee, they're going to be cutting off their nose to spite their face. And that includes the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NFL, the PGA Tour, the USTA, the NCAA, whoever requires that. It would be a massive mistake. What they're asking for is a 1% integrity fee that is basically 1% of all wagers to go to the leagues. And they're saying, hey, if you're going to market that you can bet on the NBA, that's using our likeness. Therefore, we should get 1%. And then 1%, we can do that. We could divvy it up in revenue sharing. The players can get their percentage of the pie, and the owners and the teams can get their percentage of the pie. And we'll also be able to use that money to ensure the integrity of the games remains the same. Basically, that there won't be point shaving and fixed games and that sort of thing. The problem with that is there's already been gambling. There's already been hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars every year gambled on all of these leagues, and we haven't had any problems with integrity. So why would we think now that it's more regulated and it's more legal, we're going to have more problems with integrity violations? It is simply a cash grab. And if you are the gambler, or you're the house, right? You are Arlington Racetrack, and you are able to take sports bets on Bulls-Knicks at Arlington, right? Or Rivers Casino, or whatever the case may be. Wherever, like, whatever brick-and-mortar shops are going to be first set up where you could take your sports bets. If you, as a gambler, need to pay a 1% integrity fee, that's going to come out of the profits of the house, the Arlingtons or the casinos or whatever. It's going to cut into their profits, or they're going to put that tax back on you, the consumer, the gambler. And instead of being able to bet at the normal rates that you can get right now in Vegas or right now through your bookie or right now through Bovada, you're going to be offered worse lines, worse odds, more juiced odds. And then you're not going to be as likely to gamble there because you're getting a raw deal. So if they want to bring an underground economy above board so that they can regulate it, tax it, and profit off of it, don't cut off your nose to spite your face with these 1% integrity fees that is just a cash grab. Where the league and the players and the television networks will make money from this is on interest. And I'm not talking about compounded interest like in your savings account. I'm talking about interest in the form of eyeballs and attention on your games. We talk to Lynn Casper all the time about how when he starts a baseball game, Wrigley Field, 36,000 people in the stands. By the end of the baseball game, 20,000 people in the stands. Got to do things with pace of play to keep people in the stands longer. If you've got a bet on the run line and your bet's in jeopardy because you were able to place the bet at Guaranteed Rate or Wrigley Field, you're more likely to stay. If it's a 6-1 blowout, but you got $100 on over 8 runs in the game, yeah, normally 5-run game, you're leaving. That bet makes it closer, more likely to stay. The longer you stay, the more money you buy in concessions, the more money you spend in the park, the more people willing to buy tickets because the experience has been better, more people are watching on TV because they're interested in their games, you could charge more for advertising dollars, television ratings go up. The leagues will all profit off of this without taking this 1% fee. But the 1% fee, it will get stuck back on the consumer, and that'll make people like me who have other ways to gamble not want to do it legally because we'll be able to get better opportunities elsewhere. And when you say 1%, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal. I don't know which of these estimates is real, right? We don't know if $100 billion is gambled illegally every year, if $70 billion is gambled illegally every year, if $150 billion is gambled illegally every year. I have no idea. But let's go to the low end of these estimates. And let's call it $50 billion, right? And then let's say that $50 billion was now gambled legally on sports. 1% of $50 billion is $500 million every year. Just from that, just alone, not even including increased revenue from ticket sales, ratings for TV, generated interest, longer time spent in stadiums, all of the other thing, the advertising dollars from casinos and sports apps and daily fantasy and all of that revenue that's going to come in as a result of this. Like, the leagues and the players are going to make so much money off of this that they don't need the 1% integrity fee. And you don't need to worry about point shaving or fixing games or that stuff because it's already going on. It's already going on, and it's already going on illegally. And you're not worried about that stuff. Or the leagues aren't worried about that stuff outwardly. Like I said earlier in transition, Tim Donaghy fixed games not by walking into the MGM Grand. He did it through organized crime contacts that he had. You know, mob guys, two-bit outfit guys that were able to, hey, take $2,000 on this game, $10,000 on this game, $5,000 on this game. That's how he did it. He didn't do it by walking into a casino. So these leagues, it's just a negotiating ploy. But when you read about these integrity fees, they're not really concerned about the integrity of the games. They're concerned about getting 1% of all of the action so they can make a bunch of money. We'll talk some NBA playoffs, and Cubs. Albert Almora, by the way, hit a home run against a righty yesterday. That's news. We'll talk to him about that coming up at 2 on the score. Albert Almora coming up on the show at 2 o'clock. I'm Danny Parkins, McNeil and Parkins on the score. Man, last night was so sweet, Warriors and Rockets. It's just such high-level basketball. I love what's going on in the league right now. I mean, tonight's a huge night for the Bulls, and they've got what? I wrote it down here. 18% shot at a top three pick, 44% chance at the sixth overall pick, and a 33% shot at the seventh pick. So if it happens anything other than six or seven, there was a pretty big upset that happened tonight. 5.3% chance at the top pick. And it's not a lock like it was the year that Derrick Rose was the number one pick. Even though I loved Michael Beasley, you just knew with point guard and the Chicago connection that they won that lottery, that Derrick Rose was going to be the guy almost instantly. DeAndre Ayton to be the five to allow Lowry to play the four seems to make a lot of sense, but I'm not sold on Dunn. Like, I'm not sold that Chris Dunn is a legitimate point guard for a championship team in this NBA. Like, I absolutely think he's a player on a good playoff team. Like, he's shown a tremendous ability to be a top five. I think his ceiling is top five defensive point guard who's got a willingness to have the ball in his hands at the end of games. But for right now, the thing he likes to do at the end of games is a mid-range jump shot. And that's not what you want. So Doncic would be really tempting for me if I'm the Bulls, because he just seems like he has such a high ceiling as a perimeter player, and that's what they need, right? They're lacking in wings. Now, he's not a typical wing, like a small forward like you would think of, but Porter Jr. rises up in these meetings. Like, to me, Porter's the wild card in all of this, because before the season in college basketball, he could have been the number one overall pick, and hasn't been time yet for individual workouts and all that. But everyone talking about Mikal Bridges from Villanova, he's a good player. And we'll talk about this a little bit more with Will Perdue probably coming up in 40 minutes. But if you are tanking and tearing down your team and trading your all-NBA player in Jimmy Butler, targeting this draft lottery so that you can get a 3-and-D guy, you're doing it wrong. Like, that's not the goal of tanking and lottery teardowns. And I'm not saying that he's not going to be a good player. I think he will be. I think he's got a very high floor. But I think he's got a pretty low ceiling. Like, I am very inclined to advocate, and we haven't seen the workouts yet and the combine, and some of it starts this week in Chicago, but I am inclined to advocate for Garpax taking a guy who has more of a bust potential if that player also has a higher ceiling, because I don't know that they have the best player on a championship team on this roster, and I'm pretty sure they don't.
Who would you argue is the last time they did that? Tyrus Thomas comes to mind instead of LaMarcus Aldridge, or drafting Aldridge, trading him for the rights for Thomas. Have they done it since then? Taking high ceiling over higher floor?
I mean, Markkanen.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Markkanen no sure thing, 1 year of American basketball. But, I mean, really good player. I still think they kind of lucked into Markkanen, frankly. Like, and Pax even admitted it at the end of the season press conference. Like, yeah, we didn't know he was this good. We thought he was good. We didn't know he was this good. But Markkanen is, they drafted a skill set, right? Seven-footer, can shoot, maybe can defend the rim, plays a little harder than we thought, not really a rim defender, but the perfect stretch four for this undersized spacing, pace and space, three-point NBA that we're doing right now. But we've seen players like him bust out plenty of times. So I would argue that Markkanen was, they bought on the tools and the ceiling and all that. It's just, it's not time to go the route of 4 year college player, high major program. Like this team doesn't need Kirk Heinrich. The team needs a star, and they need a wing more so, I think, than they need a five. So if they would win this lottery, I'd be very intrigued by Doncic for the Bulls, just on the potential of him being a game changing wing perimeter player. Because I don't think they have it. Dunn is good, but flawed offensively. LaVine is good, but flawed defensively. And they've got no small forward. So I think they're going wing. And if they got that 5.3% shot at a number one pick, or I think it's 11% for a top two pick when you combine one and two, I'd root for the perimeter guy over the big man as of now, fully acknowledging that you might have to reserve some right to change that once we see a little bit more of these guys and they start working out individually. But don't even say that, Shane. That's like 0.2% or something. Don't even put that juju into the air that they move down from six or seven. No. Come out of this with Wendell Carter. A lot of people like Wendell Carter, but no. You need a star in this draft. Trae Young, you want to have the worst defensive backcourt in the NBA? You put him out there? But no. We should not have even done the big voice guy for the eighth or ninth pick for those one percenters. I would have much rather be unprepared than have that even in the atmosphere as a possibility for tonight. Albert Almora hit a home run off a righty yesterday, and his teammates are getting messed with in terms of what they can wear. So we'll talk to Albert Almora about the uniform violation, some gambling, some Cubs, all coming up with the Cubs center fielder next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.